Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, June the 30th. And welcome to our commentary. Welcome to the last day of June. We are literally at the halfway point of 2022. Well, today we're going to talk about a couple of very important Supreme Court decisions that came out today. One about the EPA and the other one about Remain in Mexico. And I want to get into both of them because they're important. But I think the EPA decision is frankly more important in the long run, and I'll tell you why. I think Remain in Mexico is going to become a major political problem for the Biden administration, and I'll tell you why. But before we get to that, a couple of comments about this January 6th committee, what we have just seen with this young woman who was relating the story of President Trump confronting the secret agents, Secret Service agents in the automobile and grabbing them by the neck. You know, when I first heard this story, I thought it was pretty bizarre. I mean, bizarre. That you have the President of the United States, who's 74 years old, grabbing a Secret Service agent by the neck. Remember, these Secret Service agents are not just very good people, extremely loyal people, but they're pretty athletic and they're pretty strong. I don't know if you've ever taken a look at these guys around the president. They all look like a bunch of guys who could be playing in the NFL this weekend if they had to. I mean, these are very fit, athletic men, and that's why they're chosen, because their job requires that kind of fitness. So the idea that a 74-year-old man, Donald Trump, is going to grab a Secret Service agent by the neck is crazy. I mean, when I first heard about it, I thought it was crazy. Well, she went in and she said it, and now you're having people disputing the story. Now, I don't doubt one bit that this young woman, I think Hutchinson is her name, that she probably did hear that story and probably related the story as best as she could. The problem here is the committee, not the young woman. And let me tell you why. Had there been any cross-examination in this committee, had there been any of the most simple, basic cross-examination of this young woman, she would have never been put on national TV, because her story would have blown up in the cross-examination. What I mean cross-examination, if you've ever seen a Perry Mason program, you know what I'm talking about. You know, when Perry Mason, who's usually the defense attorney, goes after the witness and challenges the witness and forces the witness to explain things. Well, that's what was needed here. That did not happen here. So she goes on TV. She relates a story that she heard from somebody else. She never actually saw anything. And then, of course, now the story is in dispute. So once again, we see a January 6th committee, highly partisan. There's no defense. There's no other side in this committee. There's no defense of President Trump in this committee. And so it's just a partisan anti-Trump committee, and they're hurting themselves. Look, this committee is shooting itself in the foot because of stuff like this. Now, my guess is that the committee will try to come back, but nobody's watching these hearings. Nobody's watching these hearings. The other day, I was listening to an interview on Meet the Press. Chuck Todd was talking to a reporter, I think from NBC. And the reporter said to Chuck Todd, look, I spoke with Democrats in the Congress, and basically they said to me, nobody cares about these hearings. When they go out to their districts to talk to people, they're not asking questions about these hearings. And the reason they're not is because of what we saw yesterday, because everybody with a brain realizes that these committee hearings are very partisan, that they're not really intended to investigate what happened on January the 6th. How can you investigate what happened on January the 6th if you never have a hearing about why the Capitol was not protected? How can you have an investigation if you don't have that issue on the table? So anyway, I feel bad for the young woman, because I think she was used by the committee, but I think it's time for this committee to wrap up and bring this to an end. They keep telling us that they have all this information that they're going to put out. Well, if they had it, they would have put it out already. You know, if they had it, they would have put it out already. So it's time for this committee to wrap up and move on, because the American people are not interested in this committee, and they're demonstrating that in the way they vote and how they answer polling data. They're not interested in this committee. They are interested in the price of gasoline. Yeah, they're interested in that. And they're interested in inflation, that's for sure, but not this committee. Well, let's talk a little bit about these two cases that came out today. I think these are the last two. There may be another one, but I think this is it for this term. And there are two very consequential ones. So let's look at the EPA. The EPA versus West Virginia, I think, is the name of the case. And this is a case where West Virginia was objecting to the EPA, saying that the EPA does not have the authority to do what they're doing. Now, the EPA, of course, is an agency of the federal government. And it operates, the Congress writes the rules, and the EPA then goes out and enforces them. But one of the problems is that the EPA, under the Obama administration, started to act more like a self-appointed government. And it was actually trying to do for the Obama administration what the Obama administration couldn't get through the Congress. So when President Obama couldn't get a climate change proposal through the Congress, then he would try to do it through the EPA. And the Supreme Court basically said you cannot do that anymore. If you want to enforce laws, they have to be laws that were passed by the Congress, and you enforce them or you put them in play, but you don't get to do it on your own. So this is really a huge victory. I think I tell you, this is a great Supreme Court. This is a huge victory for the Constitution and for the way we do business in the United States. And we do it through the Congress, the president, and sure, we have these agencies. But these agencies are not supposed to be doing it on their own. They're supposed to do it. They simply enforce the laws, in other words, that the Congress passes. So huge victory. In this case, 6-3, once again, the Supreme Court came down on the side of the federal Constitution, and that's absolutely great, absolutely great. Now, the other decision was remain in Mexico. Now, let me just say something about this, because I know people are very angry with this opinion, but the Supreme Court here acted correctly in the sense that it said Trump had the right to issue this ruling, remain in Mexico. The next president can come in and change it. So in that sense, the Supreme Court simply said, hey, he can do it. He can do it. You know, elections have consequences. He can do it. And basically what the Supreme Court is saying is don't look to us. This is for you guys in the Congress to decide. And if the American people want remain in Mexico, then maybe they should vote for a different Congress or a different president. Again, elections have consequences. And that's what this is. So I understand many of you are angry with this opinion. I don't like the opinion, but I understand it from a constitutional standpoint. Now, this is actually a very short-term victory for the Biden administration. And that's my point. And I have a post about this coming out Friday. Because what's going to happen now is that the situation on the border is going to get worse than it is right now, if you can believe that. Why is that? Because remain in Mexico is what was, to a large degree, keeping the border from exploding. But now that's not going to happen. So more and more people are going to be told, if you can get to the border and seek asylum, you're going to get into the United States. And that's going to create a situation on the border that is going to be 10 times worse than what we have now. So this is a short-term victory for the Biden administration, medium-term, long-term disaster for the Biden administration, because now the situation on the border is going to get worse. So what you may see, I wouldn't be surprised if you see this, is the Biden administration coming up with its own Remain in Mexico policy. Now, they're not going to call it Remain in Mexico because that was Trump's name, obviously. They're not going to, you know, call it what Trump used to call it, but they're going to call it maybe remain in, I don't know, south of the border, whatever they're going to call it. But they're going to have to implement something similar. Otherwise, this situation on the border is going to get more chaotic than it already is. And then on top of that, think about that for a second. If the situation on the border gets even more chaotic, you know, how in the world, how are we going to be able to control the border? We can't. So this is a little victory for the Biden administration, but a huge defeat for the Biden administration, because now they have the entire border problem is their problem, and they're not going to like one bit. So I think there's a lot of Democrats who are probably sweating the fact that the Supreme Court made this or wrote this opinion, because it would have been a lot easier for the from a political standpoint, it would have been a lot easier for the Democrats to say, you know what, the Supreme Court did it, and you know, Justice Thomas and all those people in the Supreme Court did it, but at the same time, they would have benefited from Remain in Mexico. Well, they don't have Remain in Mexico anymore. What they have right now is a mess on the border. And it's going to get bad. I mean, I'm just telling you, it's going to get really bad on the border. Well, President Biden was in Madrid, Spain today, I think, as he was coming back. I think he's coming back to the United States. And while he was there, he gave a press conference, and he actually said, this is incredible, he actually said that he would be willing to change the filibuster in the U.S. Senate to see if they can get Roe codified, meaning if they can somehow pass a law that makes abortion legal in the United States. Well, it's not going to happen, because he's not going to get 60. You know, he's not going to get Senator Manchin. He's not going to get others to go along with it. So this is not going to happen. So this is purely pandering, total, complete pandering to the left of the Democrat Party, because as I've said before, I'll say it again. The problem with the Democrats in 2022 is that they are not very excited to vote. They're not going to get the Republican vote. They've lost the independent vote. So they're basically down to their own people. But their own people are not excited to vote, as we're seeing in primary after primary. So, you know, they have to do something. And they're hoping that abortion can somehow generate enthusiasm and generate votes. I don't think that's going to happen. There's no evidence that abortion has that big of an impact on elections. But this is simply pandering. He's pandering to the left, trying to get the left to show up in November, because if they don't get a turnout from the left, this is going to be a bloodbath of historic proportions. As I said, they've lost the Republicans. They've lost the independents. They're down to their own people. That's all they have at the moment. And their own people are not very excited. So that's what this is all about. Well, a quick thing on this day in history. You know, we always like to do that at the end of the commentary. On this day in 1936, a very famous book was published, Gone with the Wind, by Margaret Mitchell. Now, I don't know how big the book was when it was published, but 3 years later, it ended up as the story in a movie. In 1939, the movie Gone with the Wind. And I think for most people, myself included, I've seen the movie, but I have not read the book. So I cannot tell you whether the book is good or bad. Obviously, they were able to turn the book into a great movie, probably one of the biggest American movies of all time. But Margaret Mitchell, on this day in 1936, published the book. Now, she died young. She died, I think she was killed in a car accident 10 years later or something like that. But there's no question that this book had a huge impact on the movie with the same name that would, in essence, become probably the greatest of all the American movies of the 20th century. I love the movie. I think the movie is great. But the book I haven't read. So maybe if you've read the book, let me know in the comments. The book is better than the movie. And if you tell me that, maybe I'll read the book one day or one weekend this summer. Thank you so much for listening. Have an absolutely wonderful day. And we'll talk to you later. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. Bye-bye, everybody.